We would like to turn our attention to Isaiah chapter 33. Bit of an unusual text in some ways, but it just, you know how those verses just jump out at you? Well, this is one of those verses that did that, to me anyway, and especially if you're preparing lessons or know that you'll be preaching, that commonly happens, and I'm thankful for it. But it says, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from beholding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Now, what we see here is I've entitled, See No Evil, Speak No Evil, Hear No Evil. And we look at this passage, and we, there's six principles here. There is the speaking no evil, okay? And then there is here walking upright, righteously, despising gain of oppression, shaking his hand from holding a bribe, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. So we want to deal with the speaking, we want to look at the seeing, and we want to look at the hearing. Now, what is it that really appealed to me here, I guess in some strange way, in those particular three? We must understand, first of all, that all of them, all six of these principles, afford us a great way to stay out of unnecessary trouble and a great way to honor our Lord. Now, I read this text some time ago. I got a little file called Sermon Impressions. And every time I got something that might impress me to be a sermon sometime, whether it's that very week or whether it be later, this happened to be later that I don't know, it's been about a year or so since I looked at it and I put it in that file. And one of the things that caught my eye about it is that 50-something years ago, I watched a cartoon. And, you know, I don't know about you all, but when I was growing up, Saturday morning was a time to watch cartoons. And we would see the cartoons come on. And usually we didn't watch a whole lot of TV the rest of the week, except maybe Andy Griffiths or something like that. And that was about it, especially when we were real young. And one of these cartoon shows, Merry Melodies, I think is what it was called. And it was talking about three wise monkeys. Three wise monkeys. One of them was a see no evil monkey. Another was a speak no evil monkey. Another was a hear no evil monkey. And so, you know, they had the hands over the mouth, you know, and then the hands over the eyes, and then the hands over the ears. And that's what they did. And I sang this catchy little tune I remember to this day. I don't know how many times I watch that show. I don't remember whether it was just once or whatever. But that tune and those words always stuck with me. And it's interesting that I think it was made back in the 40s or something like that. Maybe 50s. I don't know when it was. Maybe 60s, because it was in color, unless they happened to colorize it. Later on, it was first in black and white, I don't know. But what you had in here, there was, in those days, they had moral lessons, good moral lessons, and even the cartoons. These days, cartoons is like, really? You got to be kidding me. Some of the stuff that's on there. But they were singing this song about seeing, about speak no evil, hear no evil, see no evil. And anyway, they were singing that, and there's this book. It was midnight. Midnight struck, and all of a sudden, all these characters came alive in the room. And there was one book in particular that opened up at the beginning, and that was this Dante's Inferno. If you ever studied any classical literature, it was a book about hell, and of course there's some things about it that just ain't right. But and one of them was is that Satan's in hell. And so the book opens up and there's hell, and Satan jumps out of it and he hears them sing that song and he gets mad. And he's going to try to tempt them to come down there. And he talks about, come join our party. And you know how he does. We're having a good old time. And they were just dancing and playing and having such a good time. And they did pretty good. They resisted it. And they sang that song. And those are things that you can do, like things that are scriptural, are good things to repeat to yourself in your heart at the very least. So it didn't work. So he got upset and he rang the gong and there were more characters that came out and talking about all the fun and the feasting that they were going to have. And so he got in there in the nut bowl there and had some peanuts, and he got them out and kind of just put them there on the side and walked away. See, you know, and what did he do? He was using that first temptation that Satan brought out to Jesus. Turn these stones into bread. Using that same kind of temptation. So you see the correlation that these shows had in biblical literature. And so, anyway, that's what got them. They came down from that place and they went over there and all this. And I won't go into some of the other details, but bottom line was they got over there close where he was luring them to what was considered hell and tried to grab them so he could throw them in there. Because we know Satan doesn't throw people in hell, but we know he loves it when people go to hell. Because he hates mankind. And so it is, we see that in this, there's no earthly heroes. Now that's what, how'd they finally get away? Well, the Boy Scouts came out and they blew their little bugle, and these heroes like Napoleon all of a sudden came to life and all this, and they got this these pen things that were, you know how the fountain pens were, and you had to write on there, and they had little tips on there. Well, they put the Three Musketeers put the pen ends in a pencil sharpener, and it shot out like a machine gun, and he went off and so forth, and finally Tarzan came over with his elephant and sat on that book, and that was it, because he had jumped into hell again, and then he smashed the book. We know that these things don't happen because of earthly heroes, but we also know that God's people are used to help one another. And as we look at these principles, I want us to understand that through the power of God, we can help each other in these things. Yes, it's a personal lesson on how we can individually, personally apply these truths. But we want to help each other that way as well. We know that in looking at that show, there was a spiritual truth that was brought out, which is found in James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The first thing is, you got to submit yourselves to God. You're not going to be able to resist the devil unless you first submit yourself to God as a believer. And he will flee from you. Isn't that what Jesus did there in the book of Matthew? When Satan tempted him there in the wilderness? Same thing. I have to wonder if this passage of scripture is what may have prompted this, although they say that this came from some Eastern Oriental Japan story. It was probably stolen from the Bible, and you know how Hollywood does. They just mess it all up when they take something from the scriptures and they try to reenact it or somewhat reenact it. So I want us to look at these three things. Number one, we see in Isaiah 33:15b, it speaks of speak no evil. It says, he that speaketh uprightly. Now, we have lots of scriptures. The first one that's critical as we look at this, in James chapter 3 and verse 2, "For in many things we offend all." Isn't that the truth? "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body." Wow. Now, that's something to put in your hat and think about for a while. Bridle the whole body if you can control your tongue. James 1:26 says this. It gets real serious here. "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue," doesn't control his tongue, "but deceiveth his own heart," that's what's happening, "this man's religion is vain." It's empty. It's good for nothing. Be able to control the tongue. Now, we'll almost be tempted not to say anything because you're afraid you're going to say something, but that's wrong. Well, we don't want to do that either. We're just about to be actively telling people about Jesus. But it says in Psalms 10:3, "For the wicked boasted of his heart's desire, and blessed the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth." And he's using his mouth to brag about all his desires and all his plans and all his schemes. That's what they do, don't they? They talk about the global reset and the great reset and all this, and they bragging about how smart they are, how we've evolved, and all this kind of stuff. It's wickedness. There, again, this hits me in the heart, and it should more than it does. If they're so bold to talk their garbage, why am I quiet? Why am I afraid? Why am I weary and well-doing? But what does someone who speaks no evil do? Well, 1 Corinthians 13:6, "Rejoiceth not in iniquity," but doesn't just, it's not just a bunch of knots, right? It's not all the shout knots. There's honor thy father and mother. That's not a shout knot, is it? There's a positive right there. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So you got, "You shall have no other God before me." There's some positives there. But rejoiceth in the truth. We just did that just a while ago. We were singing a song. We were rejoicing in the truth. That's why it's so good to have a melody in your heart and singing to the Lord, even in your heart or even out loud. Mason was over there. Forgot where we were going. But anyway, he started singing these songs. You know, about the Lord, "Teach me thy paths," or "thy ways." I can't remember which one it is. But anyway, "thy ways, O Lord." You know, just talking about, "Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." Just being able to do that. You know, what the world wants us to be caricatured as is a bunch of frowning Pharisees. Not the way it should be. We ought to be the most joyful people on the face of the earth. Now, we're not, again, not rejoicing in iniquity, but you can always rejoice in the truth. Always. So this means to speak no evil. It means to don't be engaged in gossip. I just want to tell you this because I want everybody to pray about this person. Sometimes that may be true. Sometimes it's just gossip is all it is. Try to dress it up. It should not be. The backbiting, the verbal attacks, the spreading rumors and lies. If you don't have to say something bad about somebody, don't do it. Sometimes we have to. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, right? Well, you're going to have to say it. If somebody's preaching heresy, you got to mention it. You got to warn people. careful what we say. Make sure we got all the facts. And we're not just going by what one person said. What about going to the person and talking to them? That's what so often doesn't happen. Well, it's awkward. Well, how do you think that person feels when he finds out people have been talking around behind his back? That's kind of awkward too. Do unto others you have them do unto you. So we're not to be, as we think about this, we're not to be obscene with our words, using bad language, boastful language, unreliable and deceptive language. We say what we mean and mean what we say. In other words, you're not going to, like some do in our political realms, and that is, they're going to say one thing and do something else. That's hypocrisy. We shouldn't be characterized by that. We find in the scriptures there are times when out of thine own mouth will I judge thee. But the grace of God, one writer said, sweetens a man's tongue. You know, when the doctor says put out your tongue, what's he trying to do? He's trying to, on the basis of the tongue, determine some things that could be wrong with you, or if there is something that is awry in your health. We sometimes need to stick out our tongue and look in the mirror and see if there's something wrong with the way that we're living. We need to examine our tongue or the way that we speak. But speaking is not always with your mouth, let's say. We communicate by getting on Facebook or Twitter or any of these other social media outlets. And there's nothing evil in and of themselves. But what happens is that people start fussing. And people start liking and sharing questionable stuff that has not been verified. And you know how it is. A lot of people think this way. Well, if it's on the internet, it must be true. That's totally the opposite. If it's on the internet, you better really question it. But I have seen people, some who used to be here, share things on Facebook with curse words in it. And I'm like, what in the world are you doing? Always something negative. How about something positive about Jesus? How about that? We do that. So we need to be careful that we don't spread incomplete, unvalidated information on social media. We can talk about the phone. We can talk about email, Instagram. I mean, you all know some of these examples. You know, somebody gets on one of these social media websites and they tell you, well, I got up at 7:46 this morning, or probably more like 11:25 this morning, and I fixed breakfast and I was wearing this and that and everything. What in the world? Yeah, exactly. It's like, and really I started thinking about it. That is so prideful, isn't it? As if everybody in the world wants to know what their Superman or their Wonder Woman is up to today. What? These people need to get a life. They really do. They need to speak no evil. And, you know, a lot of this is just, like I said, it's just a waste of time. And we could talk about communicating through video games, the magic, the occult, the non-reality. Use that time to glorify God. Tell people about Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that you can't ever do these things, but I'm just simply saying Let's not neglect that. Now, the other thing I'm kind of appalled about when it comes to the tongue is I'm appalled at some of the preaching that's online. A friend of mine was telling me about his pastor and how wonderful he was, Pentecostal fellow. And I said, okay, well, I hope somebody has been saved. I listened to him online, and I'm like, whoa. He was talking about there when the Samaritans, or when the Samaritans were under attack, Ahab was the king. And anyway, they were coming, the heathen were coming against him. And what happened was that God intervened and he destroyed the heathen soldiers. And he said, I can't wait to talk to them in heaven. I'm like, what in the world? Did I hear that right? I rewind it and I'm going, good gracious. That's pathetic. And he would be considered an evangelical. But some things that we can say truly, and we can say about the Word of God, the standard of truth, and we could, like Job in Job 31:30, neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. He didn't even think about doing something like that. Notice what it says in Malachi 2:6, though. There's a promise attached to this. It says, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. That's what that can do. Many people turn away because we're speaking what's good. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's a very basic principle, but a much neglected, forgotten principle. Psalms 15, verse 1 through 2. Who shall abide in my tabernacle? In other words, who's going to enjoy the fellowship? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. In other words, it's for real. It's not truth that's just come out of lips. I mean, it's coming from the heart. It's truth from the heart. There in 1 Peter 3:10, I love this passage. For he that will love life, you want to love life? I know I do. And see good days? I want to see good days too. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile, no hypocrisy. So see the wonderful attached promise to speak no evil. There's some good things. There's some bad things, and there's some good things. But now, secondly, we see hear no evil. Isaiah 33, verse 15e says, he that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood. This is mainly dealing with the hearing people planning on killing somebody or hurting somebody or something like that. Sometimes robberies involve hurting and killing people. And we could, all that kind of stuff. We shouldn't want to hear it. We want to hear some of the things that are said. And I go back to that example of that preacher. There should not be any listening audience to those who name the name of Christ, to those who preach the damnable heresy that I just talked about. You know why it's a damnable heresy? Because it's talking about a universal salvation. That's straight from the pit of hell. Doesn't matter if you're a heathen, doesn't matter if you're a Christian, you're still going to be in heaven. That's what it's saying. We should not tolerate that. We should not put up with that. It amazes me when people try, you know, they say they believe the truth and then go somewhere to listen to someone who doesn't preach the truth or only partly preaches the truth. Why does that happen Well, sometimes I believe it's because of niceties of facilities. Oh, we got such a nice building. Yeah, I like that. Makes me feel good. The niceties of so-called scholarship. You know, he's Dr. So-and-so. Well, whoop-de-doo. God's not impressed. The niceties of supposed eloquence that, now nothing wrong with eloquence, but when eloquence sacrifices substance, there's a big problem. We can listen to all kinds of entertaining people these days. And they're very gifted in that. But I cannot go to listen and to hear and to support my presence there with somebody who's not speaking the truth. I can't do that, especially when I have truth I can listen to. And sometimes it's the niceties of popularity. Oh, I'm in the big church over there. Or I'm with Dr. So-and-so's church over there. To be considered part of the in crowd. Part of the crowd that's not as likely to get persecuted. Yeah. These are hard things to think about, but we got to think this way. We have to think, Lord, is it I? I don't want to be one of those. I'm talking to myself. Somebody was talking to me. I forgot who it was, but when I study, I'm stepping on my own toes. But what's the problem usually? And the Lutheran pastor, Neumuller, I think his name, I can't pronounce his name properly, over there in Berlin, one of the things he would said is, and I'll put it in our kind of dialect so we can understand what he was saying, but there in Germany during Hitler's reign, he would say that many people ask the question, what's in it for me? When really what needs to be asked, is it truth? Is it truth? Because the truth will make you free. And that's going to do you a whole lot more good than being enslaved to Satan, self, sin, and hell's deep, dark dungeon. Amen. So when we don't want to be involved with hearing character assassination or verbal assaults. We don't want to hear that kind of violence done to somebody when we don't have all the facts. We don't want to listen to murderous, revengeful kind of language. We don't want to listen to books. You know, you actually listen to books when you read them in some sense. Of the word. God, be careful what kind of books you read. Be careful the movies that you listen to. Be careful of the music that you listen to, the radio station you listen to, the iPod that you listen to. Because evil manners corrupt, evil communications corrupt good manners. And communication's a two-way thing. It is in to you and out that way, you speaking out, it's a two-way thing. But hope and faith, I mean, you can listen to good Christian music. It's everywhere, on the radio. You can go online and listen to it. You can hear God's word, even. You can hear sermons and sound doctrine, hear godly biographies and so forth. Give a lending ear to our brothers and sisters who have a burden. But lastly, and quickly, see no evil. There in Isaiah 33:15f, he that shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. We hate to see evil. The righteous person hates to see evil. We have an example of Job, wonderful, godly man. And Job 31:1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? What do you mean? Thinking and eyes? Yes, there's a connection there. He did not look with lust. He hated seeing that kind of evil. We don't want to see the wickedness out there in the world. We don't want to look at it. We don't want to look at some of the things that are done, the violence. Some people just love to watch violence. Don't be that way. That's what calluses the mind to so many people. Like over there in Texas, 18 years old. How does that happen? It's going on the video going over and over and over again. They kill things, people. Thousands and thousands of times. Don't tell me it doesn't have effect on people. There's been studies to show that's the case. Be careful. Now, I'm not saying don't ever play a video game. I'm just simply saying, be careful. Lord, what would thou want me to do? You want me to play this video game? It's okay. Okay. All right. Now I'll play that. No. Oh, okay. No problem. That's what the attitude we need to have. In fact, we find the psalmist says in Psalm 101, verse 31, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. All the evil. It is said that some of our Baptist forefathers were often not called to court as eyewitnesses because they didn't want to see the evil. They kept themselves from the evil. They knew that evil communications corrupt good manners. They didn't go around looking for trouble. They had no fondness of seeing that stuff. The righteous man is one who shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He's like God, cannot look upon sin. I mean, look what happens to an unguarded eye there in Joshua 7:21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. I desired. I saw it first and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, that fell silver under it. Eve saw that the fruit was good. It's through the eye gate, as they call it in the old time, that it started. What about David there in 2 Samuel 11:2? What was he doing? He was taking it easy. When the kings went to battle, he was kicking back. And verse 2, and it came to pass in the eventide that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And we know the rest of the story. But look at old Joseph. Look at old Joseph here. In Genesis chapter 39, verses 11 through 12. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. Be careful. Two or three witnesses. Be careful. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And I'm sure she had a few other tricks up her sleeve to try to entice him to see some part of her he shouldn't be seeing. And he's like looking and like, really? I'm out of here. That's what he did. He didn't want to look. What can we do? Be like Joseph. But there's a good thing to do in Psalms 119, verse 37. So we see no evil. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. You know, today, like no other time, there are cameras watching you. There are microphones listening to you and cell phones everywhere. They're seeing, hearing everything you speak about, everything you see and everything you hear. Look at our text to contrast the cursings and the blessings. They're in Isaiah 33:10 through 13. This is bringing it in the context. Now will I raise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. Ye shall conceive chaff, and ye shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you. And the people shall be as the burnings of lime. As thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Hear ye that are far off that what I have done, and ye that are near acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? That's what they're saying to themselves. I'm not going to be able to stand. Those who don't heed to God's counsels and God's commandment shall be cursed with the everlasting fires of hell. Those who take no heed to the things that we just mentioned this evening are going to hell, if that's what characterizes their life. But in contrast with the cursings, we now come to the blessings. In verse 15, he that walketh righteously, speaketh up rightly, and he that despiseth the gain of the oppressor, and shaketh his hands from the holding of bribes, stoppeth his ears from the hearing of blood, shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. There are blessings for those. There are cursings for those who disregard it, ignore it, pay no attention to it. It's going to come back and bite you. Be sure, the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. And God knows those who are His. He sees the way they live. It's not perfect, but there's something definitely different about a child of God as opposed to those who are not. Again, operating according to these principles of the Bible keeps us from leading ourselves into temptation and into sin, and keep us out of that unnecessary trouble, and puts us in a wonderful position to glorify God. So may we pray for one another, just like those heroes in that cartoon. Help each other, pray one for another, that we be not led into temptation to resist the devil by speaking the word of God one to another, to help one another. May we live in such a way. May we be so loving in such a way, one to another, and friendly and encouraging each other, that we'll be less likely to be tempted because you're in a place that you're loved. That's hard to find these days. Less likely to be tempted to drift away from God, His Word, and His church. There's a song that encompasses the whole text here. It's a children's song that should be also an adult song. That song is, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see." And then it goes on, "Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear." And then it goes a little further, "Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say." And then a little further, "Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. And then, oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little heart, whom you trust. And then, oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. Big brother's watching, big brother's listening, but more importantly, the Father up above is. He is. So may God help us to take heed that we speak no evil, hear no evil, and see no evil. Thank you for your attention to the Word of God.